if it's a risk, take the high percentage player, all right? Because, you know, Drinky, the wingers up down that left edge, the fullbacks on the line, we can just keep punching corner. Because the pillars of your game will get you home, all right? You don't have to win much else. The pillars of your game will get you home, all right? I want us to get home together.
Hello from What Would Brian Bevan Say? I'm Rob London, and with the Olympics about to get underway, where are my two Pillar of Strength podcasting Olympians? Firstly, his Olympic torch could be lit by his caveats and fueled all the way from Olympia to Paris on his statistics alone. Yes, once a marathon man, although these days he's more just a lap or two around Grappenhall and back. Yes, it's Sam Sankey.
Hello.
And also, he's no highbrow Pinsenton Redgrave, bald Duncan Gudjew, or barefooted Zola Budd. But he is our very own drugs cheat, with a decathlon of ideas and a pentathlon of bullshit. Why? It's Dennis Waywell.
All right.
Now, I want your pillars of podcasting strengths to get you home tonight, boys. And I have to apologise, because some people will have said over the years that I've run this podcast as a little bit of a dictatorship, and, you know, I've cracked my whip on several occasions. But it turns out all you need is love. So I'm going to put an arm around you tonight, lads, and say, just go out there. I love you.
Okay. I love you, bro. I love you, bro.
How are you, Dennis?
All right. I don't know what all that's about. Listen, I tried to hug you. I hugged him, Sam, and I've never felt like it was like yeah, it was like a meat, a carcass in a fridge. It was like that sort of hug. Jesus.
I'm not good with people invading my, you know, personal space. My daughter on, what day was it this week? Sunday night this week. She was in Monte Carlo.
And oh, yes.
She had her first kiss. So there you go. There you go.
Or the first kiss she's told you about.
No. She was straight on the phone. She had her first kiss with a guy from Switzerland. And then she followed it off the next night with a kiss from a guy from Brazil. She said they were both very underwhelming. Oh. I just said, Anna, I said, the pillar of your kissing will get you home.
Yeah, well. So, Sam, what have you been doing, Sam? I mean, you must have been up to a lot this week.
I've been basking in the glow of the love of my fellow man. That's what I've been doing.
Jesus. I've caught you him
two,
out here.
Can you two go for a little run round the room or something? You've not been in the green room tonight, either of you, I can tell you. You're underperforming. Yeah. You know that a Warrington team that used to talk it up itself all week and then go out on the field and not quite do it for the first 20 minutes. This is how I feel you two are. But don't worry, because I love you. Get out
dictator.
There.
Dictator. Every time he goes into dictator, he's got to repeat that line. He's a psychiatrist. I knew he'd been going somewhere.
Right. Should we crack on then? Should we just get going on this one? Because we babbled on for about 40 minutes last week. Okay. The game against St. Helens. The team was Dufty, Lindop, the fantastic, probably best centre in Super League now, Roderick Ty, Ratchford, Ashton, Williams, Drinkwater, Harrison, Powell came in as a starting hooker, Vaughan, Nicholson, Holroyd and Curry. Interchange bench was Musgrove, Luke Yates made his debut, Walker was down on the bench, and Whitehead. Here's the highlights. Williams, quick hands from Dufty. Ratchford now gets it further left, and we know how good he is at finishing. Matty Ashton never turns down an opportunity. But it goes beyond him to Curry, and Drinkwater helps it out to Williams, and then a lovely little pass, and Dufty's suddenly sailing through, and Dufty's got support, but he doesn't need it. He was sailing underneath the sticks. It's been a lightning fast start by Warrington.
there, but he puts it back to Lomax, and Parsi now will burst his way. And he's got the line, has he?
I think he's sure.
Has he got that on the line? Two plays to go. Lomax pops it over the top. Stevens helps it on his way. This is Royal. Sam Royal is a super sub. He's only been on the field. A batter of Lomax. Keeps us alive. Saints defence attracted over there, but Curry still gets the ball away. Drinkwater's pass and a dive for the line. And that might just have won it. That might have won it for Warrington. So many miles. And he's through. Williams looks right. Lindop's out there, but he comes back down the middle. And Walker was on the chase. But Ford's got across there to make a very important tackle. One play to go. Kick to the in goal. And it's a try. Matty Nicholson has won it now. The character in adversity from Warrington has been outstanding.
Final score, St Helens 10, Wyre 24. There were tries for Ashton, Dufty, Holroyd and Nicholson. Ratchford kicked one penalty. He converted one from two, and Drinkwater converted two from three. Attendance was 13,135.
Mm. Wow.
Well. Now, I was asleep. I missed the first 20 minutes.
Interesting. Can I just say the first try? Mm-hmm. Do you want us to talk about the first try, or you got a bit of preamble?
No, I was just going to say that even though I was 20 minutes behind, on, you know, fast forward when the ball went out of play, all those scrums, etc. I caught up by half time. So it's interesting how much time is spent faffing around and not actually watching footy every week. So,
yeah. Well, that first try, which again, I think that was Warrington's sort of go-to move earlier in the season, that yes. deep running and then passing out to the wing to create that overlap. I did think, just on that, is that I thought it should have been an 8-point try. So if you watch that in slow motion, the Saints player followed through with his knees, and I did slow it down. And actually, I thought, oh, that caught him mid-drift as well. What do you think, Sam?
Dennis, I'm with you 100%, because I've written that down here.
Ooh.
That it looked like they went in with the knees as Ashton was sliding over. But not a jot was said, really, was it?
No.
Great work, my football. Okay, yeah. I tell you what. Rather than go through the next hour with you, should we talk about...
That's our new coach.
When are we talking about the whole aspect and bringing Big Sam in during the game, because he did give a bit of a speech beforehand about starting the match with physicality. And I think that might be where he came in with Powell starting at hooker. And we did dominate, didn't we, those early exchanges. And as Dennis says, moving the ball from centre out to our left, we really cut them open for that first try. And then fairly quickly, we did it again.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to find Dennis's WhatsApp message, because he sent the most positive WhatsApp message he's sent in 6 years.
I know what I said.
Pathetic. When he sent it, a little bit of bile came up in the back of my throat. I thought, what? He's obviously drunk. So he's got lucky or something, because I need to find it, Sam. Anyway.
Yeah, I know. I thought he was distracted. I thought I might get away with it. He's bloody remembered it. Well, you know that second try? It's good, really, because it was like an option, is that Dufty created the first try with that quick pass through the hands. And then in the second try, I think, you know, the defence is then second guessing, when's he going to pass it? And then he puts the accelerator down. And then there was just so much space to go and score under the stick. So, yeah, looking really positive by this point. And, you know, it was almost as if, you know, I'd describe it almost as incredible the way that we actually sort of made those.
Dufty, and I can't find it. Dufty in full flow, Sam. He's magical to watch, isn't he? I mean, he doesn't need to sidestep. He's that quick. He just turns direction and he's gone. Where was their star fullback? Where was he at that time? Was he not playing at fullback?
No, he playing in the halves. So
that was
he
a
had
bit
a young
of a
lad,
mistake, wasn't it?
We had a young lad at fullback, and Dufty just burned around him. But we spoke last week, didn't we, about Dufty, about how good he's been this year with ball in hand, and we asked, would he do it? Would he turn up when we played Saints and Wigan? And I know this is a Saints team a little bit down on confidence, but it's still Saints at Saints.
Yeah.
And as Dennis said, although he won't get the assist for the first try, it was his quick pass and quick movement sending them away, and then he scorched in. Yeah. And it looked like it was going to be potentially a night of records in a way, didn't it?
It does. I've just found his text, Sam. You're sitting down for this.
Fucking hell.
I am.
Dennis wrote, he said, that was the most incredible victory since doing the podcast.
Yep. I wondered how much he'd been drinking, to be fair.
Yeah. And can I, he's not read the rest of it out because he's now developed this weird cough. But I did then say, can we focus on pillars for the next pod?
So there, you did indeed.
There you go. Yes. And I'd just like to say it was almost like the Sam Burgess effect had turned into the pillar effect. And I actually looked into the pillar effect, and apparently it's embedded alkali ions that mitigate the collapse of crystal structure in a lithium ion battery. The pillar ions can decrease the system energy. So I think that, you know, the Burgess effect has led to the pillar effect, meaning that the players are alkali ions that, you know, can decrease the system energy of the opposing team. So I think he's quite clever, this Sam Burgess, isn't he, Rob? What do you think?
They all seem to love him, don't they? It's definitely working, whatever he's doing. I mean, there's Nicholson on the sideline. I'm moving on now. We should go back to Sam's point. But yeah, they all love him, don't they? They all love him. Right, are we going to talk about the Kendall Mintcake decision then for the next 40 minutes? Should we just cover off Kendall Mintcake now, Sam? Should we do it all in terms of his performance?
Why not?
So, first of all, the sending off. I don't know where to go with this. We've all lost the will to live, haven't we, in terms of, yes, it probably was a sending off if you go by the new letter of the law, but there's not consistency there. One week it's a sending off, one week it's not.
Rob, you've just encapsulated how I feel. I think it was a red card under the rules that we are now playing. I think the ban he's received is harsh because I don't think there was any deliberate attempt or anything. He just got it a bit wrong. Yeah. But that doesn't seem to come into it now. It seems to be quite simple. Your shoulder hits the opponent's head, you're off and you're banned. No matter the circumstances.
Punishment enough, though, is enough like for being red carded in a match. I don't think the subsequent two-match ban is necessary.
And it could have been a three-match ban. It's been downgraded, hasn't it, to two rather than three. I mean, no unmitigated circumstances. Well, I don't know. I think there are a few. One is Harrison's about 6 foot four. And two is watch it in full speed.
Yeah.
Like, you know, people collide all the time. I picked up a little boy from, I took him to football training last night. And while we were walking along, a bloke just came out of a shop a bit quick and banged into me. Oh, sorry. And I thought, it's kind of the same thing. Like, there was no intent there at all.
No.
Was there mitigating circumstances, though?
Yeah, he's too tall and we're playing rugby league and there's going to be collisions.
You meant the bloke with a door?
No, he's just a pisshead coming out of the bottle shop.
Oh, okay. Mm.
It's the what you call the off-license over there. No, so probably had that weak strength gin or something, you know, kidding himself as he came out. So as always, I mean, I think the issue is here that he gets a two-match suspension for not really, there's no intent there. It puts a lot of weight and burden on the rest of your squad, at this stage of the season, you know, other people now have to take to the field who are probably a bit battered and bruised. I just wonder how much that's affecting Super League as well, because all the teams seem to have depleted squads this year. They're all threadbare. It can't be helping when you're then banning prop forwards for two games, and it's the next man standing that has to come up and play against Wigan this week. So I don't think that helps either. So Sam Burgess said on the Kendall Mintcake calls, "I don't want to sit here and complain, but with the calls, we really didn't get much go our way. We didn't have anything go our way, in fact. We were already down to 12, and you'd think he'd start reffing both sides equally. But I didn't feel it was like that way. They were all over us at the ruck, and we were slightly slower, and it was a six again straight away. I think it was 6-1 for six agains, but he gave us 1 2 minutes to go."
Yes.
Isn't that a factor of, like, you know, half your players getting tired, because obviously you're playing a man down from 20 minutes and two man down. So, you know, you're likely to get more penalties for lying on and stuff, aren't you?
If you watch the game back, though, it's an absolute lottery when they give the six again and when they don't. Like, there's numerous other tackles where the tackle is longer and there's no six again. And on the other side of the fence, on one occasion, Saints got pinged for being offside. It's almost, if you've worked too hard and you've pinned the opposition right on the try line, you can almost see it coming. You can almost say, oh, no, he's... And he reacted to one where he gave an offside to them. And I watched it back. And then I watched about the next 10 plays that Saints had defending. And probably on four or five of those plays, they were more offside than the one he pinged them for. Erratic.
I think there's a lot... I feel there's too much subjectivity in what is and what isn't six again. And it almost feels like the referee's reacting to how the game is going. So Dennis, you mentioned you're down to 12 men, you're a bit tired, you might be getting off the ball slower. So he almost doubles down on it by keep giving six again when there's not necessarily a deliberate play to slow it down. Different if you've got your hands all over the ball or you pull the guy back down again and that type of thing.
Yeah.
But when it's a split-second decision about are you getting off the man or not, it feels very subjective and changes week to week.
He's the main culprit, though, isn't he? He's the one we talk about the most. It's Kendall.
And it might be because he's refereed a few of our games, but I have a big bugbear with him, and it's not actually the six again. I WhatsApped you a little 3 photos earlier, and this is more in the round of the game rather than the timeline.
Which photos?
Three occasions.
These, sorry? These weren't your dick pics, were they?
Not those photos. On the other... Yeah. It was on
the other WhatsApp group.
Yeah, he actually was in excellent position to give or not give the try. Both when the prop there, St. Helens' first try when he scored and was just at the line, and then Holroyd and then Nicholson, he was 3-4. Feet away, looking at the ball, and went up to the screen. On each occasion, he asked, "Can you confirm the grounding?" He's about 3 feet away from it, in perfect position. Make a frigging decision.
But don't you enjoy then the next 10 minutes where they try and find a way of not giving the try? And
well, it's a convenient piss break, actually.
Oh. Again, it's have you got any more available angles? Why don't you speak to the producer before the game to count how many cameras there are?
Yeah. No. Which number you want and stuff like that. And have it all on. So I was going to ask you, because you did say that, like, you know, you think it's a shower of shit. Comparing it to Australia, the six agains, are they employed differently? And is there a definite difference in the standard?
Well, yeah, of course there is, because it's all about supply and demand, isn't it? And when you're paying your referees double what they're getting paid over there, probably triple, you're getting people applying for the job who are more competent and more efficient at what they're doing. And there's more competition to rise to the top of the game to be an NRL referee. We don't have that over there, do we? So we're scraping the barrel and we end up with, you know, good referees, but not top-notch referees.
Well, I'm glad you've said that, because I was about to say they do deserve some respect. We've been critical, but I'm glad you said that, Rob. They're good. They're good guys, and they are getting the decision right. I think every try that was given or not given was the correct decision.
Yeah.
But it takes forever to get there when surely you can see it after two or three views.
Yeah, actually, you watch the highlights, Nicholson's last try, it just shows you the clip of it being given. But if I remember rightly, they looked at that from about 12 different angles, and the best angle was the first one and the last one. It's ridiculous.
One thing that I think needs a pat on, who needs a pat on the back, is Dave Woods. Because Dave Woods works on the assumption that if this goes to a highlight reel, it's going to be all sizzle, because I'm going to call it as a try. So when they go over, he'll say, Nicholson scored. There's no ifs or buts or caveats in his decision. Then if it's ruled out, it never goes to a highlight reel anyway. But you've got the other commentators continually putting a caveat in. Oh, I think that was a try. And then when you watch it back 3 days later, it loses its sizzle. He's a real salesman, Dave Woods, the way he does it. He does it perfectly.
With Nicholson, you are right, though. He went in and he immediately said...
Does all the time.
Nicholson scores.
If he's going to give an element of doubt, he'll give it in his next little bit, but he won't put it in the bit that he knows will be clipped and put on social media. So he's always thinking ahead like that. And yeah, there's a couple of the other ones that don't. There's such a level of pessimism in the try, because, oh, it might be a try. You can't then use that on social media because it sounds shit.
No, exactly. Exactly.
I was going to say, the consistency of refs, though, like you say, there's no competition for places, so you end up with the same refs. But I've watched a few of the other matches, and there's some of them where I can't even remember a six again being given, and there was hardly any penalties all the way through. It's such inconsistency between the different refs, isn't there?
He definitely, there's no question about it. In this game, there was endless amounts of other six agains he could have given, but he got on a little narrative just before the end of the first half where, Warrington are struggling, so they're definitely going to be lying on. I'll just keep giving six agains. Like Sam said, it's bizarre the way it works.
Well, that's perhaps the negative bit done. Should we be nice and positive for the next 10 minutes?
Yes, let's talk
about us.
Let's talk about Roderick Tye. Now, that's positive, isn't it? So at one point, Percival dropped a ball because he was absolutely shitting bricks because Tye had walloped him about 2 minutes earlier. I remember Paul Cullen saying, I thought Paul Cullen said something about he didn't have all the attributes in his game, but he'd always wallop his opposing centre in the first 5 minutes. And then the opposing centre would have his eye on Cullen for the rest of the game. And Roderick Tye creates this aura. You can't put it in stats, Sam, that aggressiveness, that sense that, oh, I'm going to get walloped, I've just dropped the ball. But I think that stat goes to Roderick Tye, because Percival was worried.
I will agree completely with that. I know you've took the mickey out of me with Rodders.
He's coming off the list. No, he's coming off the list. Get your rubber ready.
Rodders. He's got a caveat coming up. I can feel it.
No. You can't put that into stats. It's like in football, you'll get the striker who puts the ball in the net, but hardly does anything for the other 89 minutes. But that one moment changes the game. So with Roderick Tye, his stats actually for this game are not that outstanding when you look at the other people. But Rob, you are right. He does bring an aggression. I mean, he slips off a couple, but when he gets it right, he puts the opposition on the backside.
That's two there, Dennis. His stats aren't that good. He slipped off a couple. There's two. Let's put those down.
He manages to get it in all his positivity.
Very good, isn't he, the way he does it?
Yes. Very good. Yeah.
Well, come on. We'll come on to the stats and man of the match a bit later when we get to the end, eh?
Okay. So they scored a few times, didn't they? Got back in the game, and then basically we blew them away in the second half. It, all around that half-time team talk.
Yes.
Went down.
How did that go down? What do, I missed the team talk bit at half-time.
That one.
Ah, that one. Right,
yeah. I think it's very impressive how you put that little clip in there seamlessly.
Yeah. Go on, what were you going to say?
No, I thought that would have confused me if I was a rugby league player and someone said to me, the pillars of your strength will get you home. I'd be like, what are my pillars? I'd be going out a bit all confused. What are the pillars of this podcast?
Oh,
incompetence.
That's one. I did actually look how much a pillar was, just out of interest.
Is a pillar the same as a column?
Oh, I knew that was going to come up. I meant to look at that. I don't know. But if you go to, I can't find my website now, but it's about 1,329 for a Roman Ionic pillar. Just thought I'd put that out there.
Got some absolutely lovely ones in the V&A in London. That magnificent, magnificent pillars. There's one that's about 40, 50 foot tall. I don't know how they got it in there. What do they do?
So, firstly, I want to know how many pillars we're talking about. So I can think that, did he say right of the way it's aggression or something? Was that the first pillar, do you think?
He was telling George Williams to be aggressive, which I thought was a bit like, ooh.
Yeah, so maybe that's one pillow. Pillow. And then the second pillar is got to be about, do you think it's defence or something like that? Or do you think it's more
attitude?
I was going to say, more of an emotional word or something like that rather than a...
Oh, I see. So they know what their pillars are before.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't. That's what's thrown me.
Yeah.
I thought he'd just come out of the blue with that. I didn't realise he'd there's structure to this. Huh?
Sorry. Yeah, because I am starting to question how many pillars you would be able to remember, because I think numerically you can usually remember seven digits. So if there's more than seven pillars, I'm getting a bit worried that anybody would remember what they are. And I think anything over four pillars is going to get a bit confusing.
Terry Venables said when coaching at domestic level, you could only give your players two pieces of advice because that's all they could retain. Yeah, two pillars. International level, you could give them three.
Ah,
that's it. There's no point giving them any more than that.
What I did like is the clarity and actually the lack of detail that he was giving to the players. So clearly they've done their work on the pillars or their values or their structure or whatever in pre-season and what the mottos of what they're going to go by. And clearly you would think that in the week running up in training, he's talked to George Williams and Dufty in particular about where they're going to attack. And he's talked to the hooker about where he's going to attack. But he didn't overcomplicate it, pillars. No. He didn't overcomplicate it there. It was just with Nicholson. He didn't say, get back on and run that line and do this and do the other. He'd clearly been bothered about his yellow card. And he just said, don't worry about it. Get on there, win it for me. I love you, bro. Go on. Something like that. I can't remember the words. And when Sam Powell was coming back on, he just said, Powley, come on, get going. You live for these type of games. Go on. And it was a very, very much an emotional...
Can you be our interpreter going forward, Sam?
You've got it all, absolutely none of that. I was just getting...
You know what it reminded me a little bit of? If you watch the Clarkson's Farm, there's a bloke who builds walls called Gerald. And Jeremy Clarkson goes to see him and, you know, Gerald comes out with something and Clarkson has not a clue what he said, just nods and goes, yep. I thought that was a little bit like the two that were sitting either side of Burgess, like Gleeson. They couldn't actually understand what he'd said. They were just like nodding, yep. Okay.
What did he say?
Yeah.
All pillars are columns, but not all columns are pillars.
So what does Nelson stand on?
Well,
he's on a column.
All pillars must serve as a structural purpose in addition to aesthetics. whereas a column can only serve as an aesthetic purpose because they're not needed for weight-bearing purposes.
But yeah. The column does bear weight. It bears weight of the statue on top of it.
Yeah, no, but that's what... that's.
So Nelson must be on a pillar?
No, he's on a column. That's right, correct. Column. Oh, no, yeah, you're right. In contrast, a column can only serve as... You're right, Sam. I think we're going to have to write to someone. Who should we write to for pillars?
The king,
we'll write
probably.
To Sam Burgess.
Ralph Rimmer. He's doing nothing there. Write to Ralph Rimmer. When's he coming on?
That's your job. You know it is. Who are we getting on next?
Welcome to Yates's Wine Lodge, where every glass tells a story. Our expertise defines us, with Yates's experts carefully selecting the finest refreshments from around the world, and from the cash and carry. Yates's is the perfect setting for every occasion. Whether you're a connoisseur, a casual enthusiast, or simply a massive pisshead, pair your favorite wine with a selection of artisan cheese or a Benny Westwood sausage baguette as experience the vibrant ambience, live music, and the occasional fingering down the dimly lit side alley between the wine bar and Greg's. Today's Yates's drink is Molotov cocktail, with a dash of the Burgess effect.
Molotov cocktail. Now, he played very well, Sam. Played very well. He is the future, isn't he? Because he tackles just above the bollocks. And next year, he'll come into play. I mean, we'll move on to another person who we're going to sign possibly in the next few hours. But yeah, tackling round the waist is the future.
So, come on then. You were doubtful, weren't you? You said you think he's small.
I said,
statistically, he tackles everything that moves and has done for several years. I have my doubts what he will bring going forwards.
You seem to have less doubts than Roderick Ty, though. Do you think there's an imbalance in your judgment of the players, Sam?
We've not gone through the stats, actually. I want to say, just before we move back onto Yates, my outstanding player was actually George Williams. I thought he was outstanding through the game. I thought Dufty was good. I thought Ty played quite well. I thought Holroyd tackled his heart out.
He did.
I thought Curry tackled his heart out. But I thought the difference through the whole game
Roderick Ty, are you going to mention him in there?
Did you not hear it? He what? Said everyone was superb, every this, that, and the other. He said, and Roderick Ty was quite good. He slipped it in and you missed it. Unbelievable. Any opportunity. My goodness. Dufty's defence was in question, mind. I mean, we know he's brilliant in attack, but that last try for St. Helens, he almost stepped out the way and stuff.
Oh, did it again, did he?
Yeah, we always go on about how good he is in advance. I mean, he scores 30% of our points, so let's take it on the chin.
Yeah, drink water.
Doing well, isn't he?
You mentioning him, Sam? How did he go?
He just did what Drinkwater does. He occasionally does something,
and then he goes quiet again. He did absolutely sweet FA for their first try over on that left. Everyone was doing their bit, and he just couldn't be arsed. He got caught out in no man's land, but didn't commit either way to the winger or the centre. So, right. Right. Anything else to add on the game? Did you go, Sam? Did you go?
No. My poorly friend with his poorly arm has now got a very bad cold. His arm's getting better.
Good to see Joe Philbin in the crowd, though, wasn't it? Did you see Joe Philbin behind the sticks?
Oh, yeah. He got knocked out, didn't he, the first round? So that's why he was there.
Yeah, it's good. All right,
so
on to the...
I was just wanting to make sure that, you know, it was such an incredible game. You know, what are you choking at? Stop choking. I mean, it did get sort of say we're a different team this year. This is a definite different feel about, you know...
Oh, yes.
Sam's raising his finger. Go on, Sam.
Caveat, it was St. Helens reserve team.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. But we were also 12 men for most of the game and then 11 men. And we lost our centre. We've not mentioned our centre getting walloped on the nose, unfortunately.
Blatant elbow to the face, nothing. Nothing. Apparently, you have to be looking at the player before you can be banned. So going forward, it's all right to put your elbow up if you're looking the other way. If you're looking the other way, you can smash anyone in the face. And that's probably where Harrison went wrong. Had he tilted his head and looked the other way, you can just smash a player in the face, because that was a blatant use of the elbow. He absolutely, if you watch it, he flings it round full speed and smashes Ratchford across the face. Nothing. Nothing at the disciplinary committee. Nothing.
I don't think there was any aim in it to hit Ratchford. But on the contrary, if you're defending, it is your responsibility not to hit the player around the head. So if you're flailing your elbow around, you're potentially putting someone in a dangerous situation, aren't you? Dennis, you said you feel it's a different team this year. I agree with you. There's a resilience there. But if I just quote Dave Woods, the character in adversity of Warrington tonight has been outstanding. And I think that would sum it up very well. You know, they all backed up each other. When we were under the pump for long periods of that game, Saints are shit compared to where they were. But let's just put into a bit of perspective. This year, in 18, what Saints have played 20 games, two of them against us. In the other 18, they've conceded 192 points. So that's 10.6 points per game. We've beaten them 31-8 with a full complement of players. And now 24-10, both at their ground. That's takes some doing that historically. We've not had the belief. We've not had the pillars in place to produce those types of performances in recent times.
Do we think we're a better side with Walker coming in off the bench? I thought we played better that way around. I thought Walker had a very good game when he came on. There was a bit of space for him. I know they like bringing Powell on to give a bit of aggression, but I just thought it worked better.
I like what Powell does. I like the strength and the control he gives. And I think there was clearly a deliberate decision here because Saints had a good starting pack. What they had was nothing on the bench. And I think the theory, if we'd have kept to 13 men, would have been to run to soak up what their first starting pack had, and then let Walker come in and cause havoc against a tiring Saints defence.
Getting a bit long in the tooth, aren't they, Saints? Because you know Wormsley's out again, coming towards the end. You know. Makinson, we've talked about the sunshine on his back down in the south of France might give him a couple more years of good play, but he's not the quality he once was. Lomax is coming towards the end. Clark, I mean, Darryl Clark might still go on and win Super League title with Saints this year, but he doesn't seem to be as effective as he was 5 years ago. He's lost that little bit of pace, hasn't he? That skip's gone from his game. So,
and then with a team like that, when they lose a little bit of their aura, people suddenly go with a belief that we can win. Whereas when they're winning match after match after match, you're almost got to get over your psychology. Dennis, you'd like that, wouldn't you? You've got to get over your psychology first before you even get onto the pitch. if you're playing against a champion team.
I think that might be the third pillar. Psycho.
Are you? Where are you tonight? You look like you're in some dungeon. What's going on? Have you moved where you normally do the...
Yeah, I've moved downstairs this evening because Mrs. Waywell's she's just gone to bed.
Early night. I feel a bit sorry for Wellens. He's going for a coffee with Sam this week, by the sounds of it. I don't think it's Wellens' fault. I think Wellens is trying to instill that Saints mentality in his team. He just hasn't got the team at the moment. You may have read that Lee Breers is on his way back to the north of England. He's leaving the sunshine of the Gold Coast behind. I can't really see him taking up a first team coaching position. I just don't think Lee's that kind of character.
Yeah, what you said on this podcast, he was the, you know, he always sees himself as a second in command.
He's a bit of a clown, is Lee. I just don't think he'd be able to, you know, he likes jumping out of cupboards at the players and all this kind of stuff. And I just don't think you can do that as a first team coach. So it'd be intriguing to see where he ends up. He might end up on the coaching staff at Saints, but I don't think he's a number one. And like you said, he said to us he doesn't want to be. But then Margaret Thatcher went on John Craven's Newsround and was interviewed in 73 and was asked the question, did she want to be Prime Minister? And she said she didn't. So
it's a great
and it is
there.
And it is, what, 5 years since Lee was on this podcast, is it?
Is it? Oh, Jesus Christ. Not been doing
a lot of changes. A lot changes in 5 years, and he's, and 2 years at the Broncos might give him, and a year on the coaching staff at Wigan give him a slightly different outlook on life.
Okay. Let's move on to the results, and they went in Wire's favour. Huddersfield 16, Salford 8, Lee 36, London 6, Hull 24, Wigan 22, Leeds 12, Hull KR 20, and Castleford 24-18 against Catalans. So it leaves the table looking like this. The Broncos, London Broncos at the bottom on 2, Hull on 6, Castleford on 13, Huddersfield on 14, Lee on 15, and then in 7th, Leeds on 18. Then we have a gap to the top 6. We have 3 teams on 22 in Salford, Catalans and Saints. Hull KR on 26, Warrington just ahead of them on goal difference by 15 points, also on 26 points, and then Wigan out on top on 28, and also with a game in hand.
I've got something on this. I've just been thinking about it. You know, it's funny now, this time of the season, I'm looking at those lower teams picking up wins here and there. If you look at those, that top 6, certainly the top 5, Wigan, Warrington, Hull KR, Saints and Catalan. Catalan, Saints, Warrington are really down on troops. And Wigan look like they're just about to enter getting a little bit tired at this point in the season. They had a big game against Saints last week. They were totally out of it against Hull this week. Hull KR seem to be riding well. I don't know what their injury list is like, but those top teams now are almost come out of this period and they all seem battered and tired. So maybe that's one of the reasons why we're seeing a few of these results going, you know, out of the ordinary.
Yeah, there's a lot of bumps and bruises. They've lost Field and French, haven't they, Wigan? So
yes,
lose a few more on the trot and they'll feel a little bit
neither is fit for this weekend. You've stolen a bit of my thunder for later on.
Oh yes, yeah, sorry, let's not talk about that then. We'll keep away from that. Can Leeds creep into 6th? I doubt it.
They can do, but I've not seen anything this year, even with Brad Arthur, to say they're suddenly going to go on a run of 6 or 7 wins out of their next 9.
It is getting to the point. I don't think we are. I just think if we don't get in that top 2, I still think we could go away to Wigan or possibly St. Helens, although St. Helens are sliding now, and they might patch up all their superstars and we wouldn't get the result. But I think we're going to be quite hard to beat at home. If we've got a full team, I think we'll be quite hard to beat at home in that semi-final. So I think it is imperative we get that second spot. And who knows? Who knows?
Well, this result against St. Helens, if we can back it up over the next 2 weeks, either this weekend away to Wigan, which I think is going to be a tough challenge, although we'll talk about it later, or the big game, potentially the week after against Hull KR, if we can win one of those two, it's going to set us in very good stead, because it could well be a straight fight between us and Hull KR for that second place. Mm. We've got a four-point gap now. Can soon change. Two weeks, you can lose two games and it can change completely. But it's important, not important, it's assuming everyone else below wins all the games. And as Dennis has just said, there's some patched up teams. If we can just, as we said last week, if we can just win six out of our last 10, or now six out of our last 9, we're guaranteed second or third. Second would give us a week off, as you rightly say, Rob, and we'd be at home to in a semi-final. But even third gives us home advantage against the team in sixth.
Okay. Wait and see what happens. I still think there's a shocker coming. We're going away somewhere and having a classic Warrington afternoon.
Yeah. When are you going to an away match, Sam? You usually go on one of those days, don't you? You're not at an away match this year.
Yeah. Usually Wakefield or Castleford.
God. Good luck with that.
Before that, John Craven's News Round.
Englishman and current NRL forward John Bateman is rumoured to be about to sign a loan deal that will see him playing Primrose and Blue for the remainder of the season. The 30-year-old Bradford-born forward has played a combined total of 275 Super League and NRL games for his hometown Bradford, two spells at Wigan and also in Oz for Canberra and his current side, the West Tigers. Now, there's a bit of speculation that, okay, he's coming because Fitzgibbons is done for the year, yet Fitzgibbon was on the Tony Arnold podcast this week, and he seemed to think that he was coming back within a couple of weeks. So whether he's been off to see the specialist and he's had bad news on that shoulder.
A bit like Biden, though, isn't it, at the moment? You know, Biden.
He
thinks he's coming back, but I don't know.
So you think Fitzgibbon may have the Biden effect?
So I'm laughing so much because it's on my timeline all the time. I keep seeing all this shit about Biden and this, that, and the other. Yeah, I like that.
Okay, all right.
I'm actually excited by this signing. I think this is a no lose for us.
Yeah,
Bateman is clearly older than the player that was running around smacking seven bells out of everybody. And he's gone through a bit of a dip down there at West. But there's been a lot of rumour all year that he's not been seeing eye to eye with the coaching staff. Benji Marshall's there, isn't he, I think? And also Papaliki, who's there, as well as their other star signing this year. He's not seen eye to eye. There's a lot of disgruntlement at West's. So for him to come over here, fit, hopefully with a right attitude, when we're a bit down on troops, if Fitzgibbon were to come back and be fit enough to see out the last six or seven games of the year, then Fitzgibbon, Bateman and Yates in the back with Nicholson and Curry backing them up, that's some pack. That's some pack for us. And if it doesn't work out, he's only here for 10 games and then he's off wherever next year.
Just the 10 games. We've got no centres, though, have we?
Well, he's played internationally at centre. Shane Warne has played him at centre two or three times for England because he didn't think the centres were as good as playing Bateman a second row there. So, you know... Tony King is due back either this week or next. All of a sudden, Thewlis, they're hoping his shoulder is right. So we've got these big question marks over Thewlis and Fitzgibbon, but if they bit of luck and they both come back, we're fine. Go on. Sorry, Rob.
Luke Littler. When's Luke Littler back? Is he will he be back soon?
He's lifting weights, wasn't he, last week and doing a bit of
running.
Oh,
there you go, you see. There you go. So, right.
Okay. Throwing a few arrows.
It's all coming together. It's all coming together. Did he do anything at Wigan? When he was at Wigan for that spell, after he left Canberra, like, what did he offer at Wigan? I don't remember. See, look, Dennis doesn't even remember him coming back.
No, I thought you were still about Philbin, and I was thinking, was I out that season?
So season 2021, I got this up earlier. 558 tackles, missed 35. He did 250 carries at 7 meters per carry. That is favourable compared to both Nicholson and Curry and Fitzgibbon.
Right. Okay.
And 37 offloads. So it's slightly different game.
I think he's played 12 games for West this year. He's been injured a bit. He came back the other week and played. But anyone who's playing 12 games of NRL is clearly good enough to play Super League.
He's old teammates, I presume, with Williams and Powell, isn't he, then? There's a bit of a connection there as well in terms of, you know.
I did like to see that Burgess has been on the phone chatting, you know, doing the negotiations. It's good to see, you know, all of a sudden, we've got someone with some clout that people know in Australia making the phone call. I think that makes a difference.
But we have seen that it was reported today that Sam Burgess is not really signed on the dotted line yet, and he might be back going back to the NRL next year. He's not made a decision. What do you think?
The year after.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
We've got 2 years. I've got 2 years to go. I've got 3 pillars in 2 years.
Stephen Ratchford has signed a new 1-year deal that will see him play with Warrington for a 14th consecutive season. Ratchford turned 63 last week and said, "I feel I've still got something to offer on the field and helping others to develop their game too." However, Ratchford suffered a fracture to his face during the win at Saints, which will require surgery. It leaves Wyer short in the centres with Toby King hamstring, Thulis shoulder, Wrench ACL, all with a sick note from Matron. I don't think it got his nose, did it? Missed his nose. It's more eye socket, it looked like.
If his nose had been straight, do you think that would have cushioned the blow and stopped it hitting his eye socket?
Mrs. Waywell was screaming, saying, oh, Dennis, he's touching his cheek. See, it was like, it was pressing against his opposite cheek.
Yeah. So.
Did you see the winger at Manly and his eye? Did you see that?
Oh, yes, yeah. Hopawati.
And they left him on. Like, that should have been straight away. Come off. He kept touching it and rubbing it. And it's like,
he scored a try like that.
Where's the doctor? Get off.
What was up with it? What did he do? A lump over his eye or something?
Both sides. An absolute huge shiner. He couldn't see out of it. But he was sort of...
He's fractured his eye socket, I think. Yeah, he's out for the season now.
Ooh. God. Yes. Right. Okay. Any other news? Oh, we've got a new coach, have we, Sam? You mentioned that someone has come over from Bath.
From Bath. Well, via Leeds. Kyle Eastmond. We've finally signed him. He's only here temporary.
Can we get him to play? Has he still got his boots?
Well, yeah, he would, but he won't be any good at prop.
No.
But then again... Then again, he is only about 4'6", so nobody will be able to tackle him below the armpits.
He'd be good next year.
He might be just a stealth buy. We might have just snuck him in pretending he's coaching staff.
Yes.
He'll be out there.
Statistics, caveats, bollocks. Listen up, you norms. It's time for Sam to talk shite. For 5 minutes... It's Sam Sankey's shitistics. No. Dick's data. No. Anal cyst. No. Twat stats. No. Statistics. Yes. That's it. It's time for Sam Sankey's statistics. Accreditation removed.
Right, so, shitistics this week, fairly simple. It's St. Helens last week, It's Wigan this week. And I thought, when I read a little piece in the Guardian, it said that we have lost seven consecutive games to Wigan.
Well done. And well done for me not to read that full line without a pop-up coming up. Well done, Sam.
I know. It was hard. It did take me about 3 minutes just to read that bit.
Mm.
And so going on from that, I thought, we've lost seven times in a row to Wigan, then thought, yes, of course, because we've just gone through 2 years of Darrell. So I just thought I'd look at Wigan coming up and the challenges that we face, and then we'll just go on to look at the record of the recent coaches. So far, until their unexpected defeat at Hull, Wigan have been the team so far this year. They've scored 465 points. They've conceded 206, though they've won the games on average 27-12, scoring 69% of the points. But they will struggle a bit this week because Bevan French and Jai Field are both out, as Rob, you...
say Jai Field. Who's Jai Field? Yeah.
Jai Field. J-A-I. Jai. That's the way I'm going with it. Sod what everyone else says. and funny enough, the two defeats Wigan have had have both been away at Hull. They lost to Hull and earlier in the season to Hull KR, conceding 26 points to Hull KR and 24 points to Hull. That's the most they've conceded in any one game or any two games there. So we're up against it this week. But it's up to Sam to get a winning record. Because if we go back to Steve Price in his time at Warrington.
We just lost another 250 listeners, Rob.
Don't worry, I'll put some elevator music over this. Don't worry, it'll be fine.
Excellent. Well done.
Come back to Price. So,
in Steve Price's time against Wigan and Saints, he won 13 matches and lost 14. Darrell won none, lost 11 against Wigan and Saints.
Oh, poor Darrell.
Sam at the minute is 2-2. So he's lost both games to Wigan and won both games against Saints. So this week, if he can pull it off with a depleted team, he can get a positive win record against who are they really, the top two teams in the last 10 years. I appreciate Leeds had a 5-year spell, but really, when you're talking about rugby league, if you can be beating Wigan and Saints, you're doing something right. So that's it. Can Sam go 3-2, or will it be 2-3? We'll see.
Have you got the Tony Barrow stats?
Only looked at Super League, I'm afraid. But Tony's would have been good.
Trusted Primrose and Blue Coat. Now, can I remind anyone entering the club car park today, have your ticket validated at reception, otherwise expect to be clamped tighter than an Alan Bateman's tackle. And for the bright spark who thought he could remove the wheel clamp, may I point out that was the league leader's shield. Darrell there, that's not a trophy. That's Mr. Fitzpatrick's hubcap.
Oh, Sam. Oh, what a wonderful idea to hold a pro celebrity golf day. Oh, yes. This event is one of the pillars of our business. Yes, yes. The course looks fabulous. Oh, I haven't seen such a well-maintained bunker since our RFL summer road trip to Morecambe Bay. You know, when the wind got up and a copter mouthful of Claire Balding's Sandy Rake. Oh, it was grittier than a Roderick Ty right edge defence.
And may I add, Ralphie, you look absolutely smashing in your plus fours. Are they Lyle and Scott?
Oh, no. Actually, I've gone for a Lomax and Moron. I'm a working class, self-made brand. Although, after years and years of wear and tear, their support is fraying at the edges a little bit.
Did you manage to use your OBE rimming contacts, Ralphie, and score with a good golfing celebrity?
Oh, Sammy, I thought you were putting the celebrity list together. Oh, don't tell me you haven't marked your scorecard again.
Oh, sorry, Ralphie. I thought I was organising a pro celibacy day. What with the temptation of the summer under the edge wine bar, I've been on my best behaviour.
Oh, Jackal Sacks. What on earth would Stuart Middleton think?
Hindsight's a wonderful thing, isn't it?
Is that you, Mother?
Oh, my double bogey and sink my hole. Who on earth thought it would be a good idea to let Ben Zahale caddy? Oh, dear. This round will take longer than 18 holes at Walton Golf Course on a sunny bank holiday Monday.
I know, Ralphie. And with the restricted view on the 14th green caused by that large grassy knoll, I'm not sure anyone's going to shoot under par.
Samuel, that's just Professor Broomhead in his new mohair green cardigan.
Right, I'm off to replace the divots. There's nothing worse than trying to play out of a shitty little lie.
Sorry, Samuel. Are we still talking about a poorly maintained fairway or Richie Myler?
By the way, shall I ring Dave Woods, Ralphie, and see if he's free for a late tee-off?
Oh, no, I wouldn't bother, Samuel. A little birdie told me his ex-wife's solicitors sliced so much off his swing, his balls are out of bounds now.
I must say to the listener, I felt I was listening to a repeat, and I couldn't work out why I was listening to a repeat when I realised that just over a week ago, Rob had messaged Dennis to say, here's a script for Pro Celebrity Golf, and I opened it and I read it, and I can say that listening to the Claire Balding grit in the bunker and reading it, neither gets any better. Frankly, neither gets any better.
Dear. At least you know when to put your headphones in, so, you know, Mrs. Sankey can't listen to that, Sam. So
I'm now addicted to pro celebrity golf because I had to get the theme tune off YouTube, and I've been watching Sean Connery all week, like playing Bobby Charlton. It's great. Fantastic.
join him on a shadowy flight into the dangerous world of vlogging and the M62. Dennis Waywell is on a mission to keep rugby league alive. In a world of camper vans and reasonably priced tarpaulins. In northern towns where kids have blue drinks for their tea. Introducing Tackle Bags. No way, Tackle Vlogs. No, hang on, Tackle Books. Nope, that's wrong too. I had it right the first time. He just can't even be arsed to rebadge it. Welcome to Dennis's Tackle Bags. Or just skip forward for about 15 minutes.
Excellent. It's always good to be back. Firstly, let's just announce the winner from last week's competition. That was Mr. S. Todd, and he wins a signed Warrington shirt. Right. Anyway, I want to move on. This week's... let's just read that again. You'll cut this out, won't you?
7% of the listeners listened to Dennis's bit last week.
I love it. I'm going to get this down. Anyway, this week's Tackle Bags, with us totally dominating St. Helens, it's time to put our best foot forward to entertain the fans in 2025. And as an alternative to the pit fest of rugby league next year, with this week's alternative event, drum roll. Yes, it's toe wrestling. Sorry to disappoint you, Sam. The other one comes up later in the year. Sam did send me something in the week, which is totally on point. But this week, we're looking at toe wrestling. Toe wrestling was invented in 1974 by four drinkers. So it really tells you the level of sophistication with this particular game. It was invented in the Royal Oak Inn in Wetton, Staffordshire. It's like Peak District, really, isn't it, I suppose. Four blokes invented this game. And now there is an annual event of the World Toe Wrestling Championships held there. I went down a bit of a funny avenue this week, chaps. So this one's going to be relatively short, as I'm going to lead into another one. And you'll see the point. Anyway, some toe wrestling rules. It's very easy. First of all, players have to have bare feet. And interestingly enough, it's courtesy to take off the socks and shoes of your opposition before the match is started. So you get to put your hands on their feet. And I can see you pulling your face, Sam, but there is
I'm
also
just wondering whether this is going to some sort of fetish.
Oh, he's on it. Anyway, there is a foot inspection for warts, fungus, athlete's foot and the like to make sure that they're clean and ready to go.
Is that like when you used to go swimming at school and you used to all have to put your feet up and be checked for verrucas?
Yes, very similar to that, it is. The actual rules and the players interlock their big toes with their feet lying flat against each other, with the other foot raised in the air as the game is played. The goal is to defeat the opponent by making their toe touch the toedium. This is the columns at each side of the feet. So it's almost like you have to push the other toes onto that. There are three ways you can go about it. First, you can pin the opponent's foot to the ground where the referee counts to three. Second is you can then get the foot or the toe trapped for 3 seconds. And then the most popular way in toe wrestling is to make your opponent touch the toedium, which you get points for. There's three rounds. And then like the one with the most points wins. The first round is played with the right foot, the second round with the left foot, and then again with the right foot if the game calls for a third game playoff.
Bit unfair, isn't it, to left-footed players?
It is.
You'd be struggling there, Rob. It would be against you, wouldn't it?
It would. I'd be losing 2-1 every time. I'm a bit worried who's refereeing this, because I reckon if Kendall was refereeing this 3-second ruling, there'd be a lot of discrepancies on whether it was down for 3 or 2.5 or 4.
And whether the foot actually touched.
I have it down. Can you just check on the video that it was down for 3 seconds, please?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, another fun...
Available angles.
Another rule is that you can call out it's too much if it hurts and you need to tap out during the game, which is a unique thing. Anyway, I was going to look a bit further into this. I'll just mention the current champion. His name is Alan Nasty Nash. He's won it 17 times. So,
wow.
I know. He's Jesus. Pretty dominant, isn't he? The lady version is Lisa Twinkle Toes Shenton.
I've got a fungal infection in my toe that I picked up in Thailand when I was 19. Still haven't got rid of it. Could I play?
No. No, because if you've got any kind of like problem with your feet, you can't take part. Sorry about that. Anyway, I got to this point, and for some reason, I'll tell you why the reason was. The actual trophy is a foot, so they actually get presented.
But it's a right bronze. Foot.
Actually, it doesn't say that, actually, whether it's left or right. But then I got into foot fetish at this point. And
on to predictions now and...
No. I have actually looked at me browser. I'm definitely going to have to change it because when I looked at foot, I wasn't really looking at foot fetish. It just happened to come up. Then I noticed at the same weekend of this activity of toe wrestling is a swingathon in Allington, Lincolnshire. And there they do have a foot fetish. It's a 4-day sex and fetish event called Swingathon, and it was actually on last Thursday. It's doubled in size since the previous year, growing numbers from 500 to 1,000 attendees. Tickets for this X-rated event feature play tents, pole dancing, hot tubs, foam parties, and mobile dungeons, all for £265. Wow. So that, you know, if you don't want to go to the toe wrestling, this is the alternative thing here. They've got performances on, comedy acts, and naked attraction style competition, dragon burlesque acts and all this stuff. Anyway, there's been some reaction from the villagers. I did actually copy them down. Each to their own, one guy said. I suppose we don't really want or need it in the village. I mean, imagine that if you've got that on your village nearby you, Sam. What would you be... doing there? Would you make a complaint to the parish council, do you think?
I'd do a full and detailed study of what was going on so that I could report back to the podcast.
Yeah. Would you like that, Rob, as your quintessential England retreat?
The pillars of your swinging will get you home.
There's been some other previous complaints from residents about the noise and disturbances from the countryside festival. Sounds you don't want to hear when you're trying to sleep. Suppose you don't really, though, do you? You don't want to wake up with someone grunting on you, do you? I suppose that's... Did they mean that? Oh, maybe they didn't. Local police have been alerted
Don't worry, Sam. We'll edit it down. Don't worry.
Local police have been alerted by the local allotment association following a spate of vegetable thefts, including cucumbers, carrots and courgettes, one prize-winning marrow. One allotment owner said he's quite distressed after finding a mashed up eight inch long hole in the end of his marrow. So, you know, it's certainly causing problems around the area. And finally, a local man who wished to remain anonymous commented, it all seems a bit seedy, if I'm honest. Not my cup of tea, but if you can't beat him, join him. He left with a smile and basically armed with a tent and a 12 kilogram tub of industrial grease. So, he obviously thought I was there. So, yeah, that was it. Sorry about that. But there's two alternatives there if you don't want to watch rugby league next year.
Predictions.
We can predict the future. Or resist the inevitable urge to try.
Good afternoon to you. Earlier on today, apparently, a woman rang the BBC and said she heard that there was a hurricane on the way. Well, if you're watching, don't worry, there isn't.
I'll predict Warrington, but can I do it with a caveat, please?
Hello, it's Hal here, the podcast's pillar of strength. Next up for Wire, it's a match with the Pie Eaters, where Wire will take out 40% of the filling. And don't worry about the result too much. Please remember, I love you.
It doesn't get any easier for Wire with another away game, this time at Wigan. The match kicks off at 8 p.m. on Friday night. Now, Hal's gone for 40%. Wire will take out of the filling. He's not that confident. I think we'll start with you, Sam, this week. I think your turn to go first, mate. What are you reckoning?
I'm going to carry on with the reverse psychology.
Oh.
I'm going to back us to lose. Mm-hmm. My reasoning is simply that I think we're 1 week too early to get Bateman in. I can't see him playing. I don't even think he's on a plane yet.
Yeah.
Fitzgibbon's not right. We're probably going to have to play Curry at centre, and if we don't, we'll probably have to play Lindop maybe at centre and Taylor Ray on the wing. I just think they'll have too much for us. They'll be smarting. They'll have been given a bloody kick up the arse by losing to Hull last week. So ultimately, 31% Warrington. I'm going with the stats year to date. Wigan have been winning their games with 69%.
Okay. Will Wood come in? Wood seems to have been left out in the dark.
I hope so, I hope so.
We haven't mentioned Jordy Crowther. I mean, what happened to him? Was he injured? Because he played, didn't he, last week against Saints? He came on.
No, he played against Leeds. That was his game back. He played quite well, but then about 10 minutes before the end, maybe 5 minutes before the end, he got substituted and he was hobbling back towards the bench. So he had a slight reoccurrence, whether he'd just come back just a touch too early. 50-50 for this week, I think.
Did Whitehead get on last week? Did he actually?
Yes.
He did at the end, did he? Just right.
But only right at the very end, yeah. Right. After the Nicholson try.
Right. Mm. Okay.
So what are you doing, Mr. London?
I backed Saints last week and Wire won. So I'm feeling I should do the same. I should back Wigan and then hopefully we'll win again. So Hal's gone 40, Sam's gone 31. I'll go in the middle. I think we'll lose and we'll score 36%. Of the points. I don't think Wigan are. I think Wigan are there to be beaten without Field, Jai Field, and Bevan French. But no, I just can't quite. I think we're just a bit depleted this week. I think we've just got too many bumps and bruises. And it might not be a bad idea actually to. I don't know. Is it a case of trying to beat Hull KR? You want to win one of these next two. Do you need to throw all your eggs in one basket and then have nothing left for Hull KR? I'm not sure. Need to think about how we're going to play this one. What do you reckon, Dennis?
Well, I think you've got to win every game, every bloody game.
You're
and I think
so positive.
I know. Well, I saw a bit of Wigan. They were shit. And I think if you look at the teams that are going through these little wobbles, it's definitely three or four games. Saints are seeing that. I think Wigan are just entering it, like I said. So I think we'll win. And I think we'll win with 59% of the points.
I hope you're right. I hope you're right.
Will I be leading?
What?
Will I be leading the leaderboard then?
You would
look
be.
At him. He wants to. He's had enough now. He wants to go. I've got all this to edit. Which angle?
That's it for the podcast. We'll be back the same time next week. So until then, for another 168 hours, it's a goodbye from Sam.
All the best.
And for another 10,080 minutes, it's a goodbye from Dennis.
The thing, yeah.
And for another 604,800 seconds.
That's well done. Have you got one of these, Sam?